Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Back in here on Morning Drive, hour number four on a Thursday. Good to have you in. Nick Braden, D-Maze, and Marquise with you. Hal Gill will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. The big finish at 9:45. Right now, we go behind enemy lines, as we do each and every Thursday, get a preview of the Titans' opponent. This week, the Denver Broncos, as the Titans head to Mile High. We welcome in Benjamin Albright from KOA iHeart in Denver. Benjamin, we appreciate a couple of minutes. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How about yourselves?
Doing well. So, obviously, the Broncos off to a slow start, although a really good win last week against the Chargers, snapping what I believe was an 8-game losing streak dating back to last year. How surprising is it the start that this team has had so far this year?
Well, in terms of record, I don't know that it's a particular stunner. I think you look at kind of the way they've played and the way they've lost or won, and that's kind of been surprising. You're talking about a football team that's put together two potential game-winning drives inside the two-minute mark at home and lost both games. So that's kind of been a bit surprising. The way the defense struggled to get turnovers and sacks through the first three games, a bit surprising. But, the offense has been surprising in a good way. It keeps continuing to get better each week. And, I think Denver fans are kind of hopeful or, at least optimistic about the possibility of almost a Colts-like turnaround from last year out of this team.
So what are they doing offensively with Joe Flacco that has worked? Obviously, like you said, the win-loss record is not where they want it to be, but if they've been surprisingly good or better than expected on offense, what is it that they are doing then with Joe Flacco that has led to that?
Well, everything starts with inside zone here. They've built off that. They've incorporated the running backs into the passing game a lot more than the previous coordinators or coaches. They love that angle route. Out of the backfield, and Royce Freeman has really kind of been a better pass catcher than they thought. They're trying to put Joe Flacco in position to make easy, effective throws to move the football, and that's really kind of been the hallmark of this so far, Flacco having one of the better statistical seasons of his career right now.
Now, losing Chubb, what does that do for the Denver defense? Obviously, they still have Von Miller. He's one of the greatest pass rushers of all time. But losing a guy that they wanted to pair him with that was having a – they had a good season last year, and we assume he was going to have the same type of season or even better this year. How much of a blow was it to lose him?
Well, it definitely is a factor. Bradley Chubb, very good at what he does, not only rushing the passer, but perhaps more valuable even being able to set the edge in the run game. When he got hurt in that Jacksonville game, you saw all of a sudden Leonard Fournette was able to get going, and they racked up the yardage in the second half. His replacement, Malik Reed, is excellent at rushing the passer and getting in there, but he tends to get washed in the run game a little bit. They went out and signed Jeremiah Tatu to kind of hopefully help mitigate that. But that's really the concern, is how well they're going to be able to hold up against power run, setting the edge on that side without Bradley Chubb there.
Benjamin Albright joining us here as we get a preview of the Denver Broncos. Let's go off the field for a moment to the front office. We've seen John Elway have his struggles, running this franchise. They've gone from Gary Kubiak to Vance Joseph to Vic Fangio. If this was not John Elway, would we be looking at a change upstairs?
Well, yeah, you would have seen one quite a bit ago. You know, John Elway came out as a general manager pretty hot. I think through his first 6 years, he had the best record of any general manager in NFL history. But the post-Peyton Manning era has been littered with failure and specifically mediocrity at the quarterback position. They've struggled to identify a guy to carry this team. And the draft classes haven't been all that great, especially at the top as well. Now, they've changed philosophy over the last 2 years, last two draft classes. This team used to look for height, weight, speed guys, elite athletes that they were going to coach up. And over the last 2 years, they've really looked for guys who are better football players, guys that are team captains, multi-year starters, things like that. It's kind of paid dividends. They think they've got the quarterback situation solved, hopefully now, with Joe Flacco in the interim and Drew Lock at the long term. And when he comes back off IR, we'll kind of see how that plays out.
Now, what is the because this is a big game for, I think, both teams. Titans here, they need a win because they want to stay, you know, in step with Jacksonville, not Jacksonville, but Houston and Indy. And then obviously Denver needs to win because they need to continue to stay on pace in their division. But what is the perception of the Tennessee Titans amongst the Bronco team and let's just say the Bronco fans?
Well, the Bronco fans are optimistic about the potential for a win. They think this is a winnable game. They view the Titans as a very good defense, but you go and look at the offensive side of the ball and, you know, see a team that's kind of had struggles. Tennessee Titans, 55% of the drives ended punts. That's second worst in the NFL. But, you know, the Titans, again, are very efficient with the football, the best team in the league in terms of turnovers on offense. So, I think that Broncos fans are saying, hey, this is winnable. We're just going to have to play clean football and come out there and put that offense behind schedule, force them to punt and take advantage of those opportunities.
Benjamin Albright, KOA, iHeartMedia in Denver. We appreciate the time and the insight. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, yes. Take care.
Benjamin Albright with us. You know, you look at Flacco. Six touchdowns, four picks, quarterback rating of 90.8. Kind of what I expected. Typical Joe Flacco. I mean, is it when you look at the record, 1-4, is it just a matter of when they go to Drew Lock? Obviously, health being an issue.
I mean, yeah, health is the major one here. I don't think it. I mean, listen, Drew Lock is part of the reason he dropped so far in the draft was that he just is simply not prepared to run an NFL offense. The Dulander's offense there at Missouri is a it is designed around a single decision happening at a rapid pace. And that's it. You don't have any more complicated. That's why Missouri's offense is so good. And in college, that works. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. You got to go through, you know, there's disguised defensive coverages. You got to go through progressions. You got to be what you have to do is you have to do what Jake Fromm did against Tennessee. Jake Fromm went to, like, his third and fourth read the entire night and did it with, like, perfect precision. And I think they did a great job of showing that on the broadcast. That's what you have to be an NFL quarterback. And Drew Lock hasn't ever shown that he's able to do that. He didn't show it in the preseason, and he didn't show it at Missouri. It's why he fell in the draft. And so I still think there's a large question around whether or not Drew Lock is the answer or not moving forward. It's, you know, a late second-round pick, mid-second-round pick is not a guaranteed future starter.
615-737-1025. If you want to jump in, we'll continue on with a little Titans-Broncos conversation. Also, get back to the Predators-Capitals tonight. Hal Gill's going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're back after this on Morning Drive.
Guys, the internet, you need it almost every single minute of the day. How else are you going to be angry all the time on social media? Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply to, all the LOLs and the likes, but the like buttons, you got to smash those likes on Instagram and Twitter. That's why you need Xfinity. You get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available so that you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security, so all of your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop onto your network, set curfews with parental controls, and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, and awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement, or get four times the speed for just $10 more a month for 12 months. Plus, add enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay, ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter, 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
9:15, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The game, Skillsy will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Titans-Broncos on Sunday, and you kind of look at this game, and you know, Bradley Chubb is out. You know, obviously, you got to deal with Von Miller, although he only has 2 sacks on the season. Just kind of looking at some of Denver's offensive personnel, of course, your boy Joe Flacco, Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders. But the one thing that worries me is the Denver rushing attack with Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. They are not afraid to stick their head down and bowl you over.
This team, and it's surprising that they are where they are with only one win after, what, 4 or 5 games. I'm surprised because they do have talent, you know, on both sides of the ball. Obviously, I think Emmanuel Sanders is a really good receiver. Sutton has come on the last year or so. And then with the two running backs, you know, I'm surprised that they are 1-4?
Yeah, they lost to the Raiders, Bears, Packers, and Jags, but they beat the Chargers last week.
And they should have won. There was a couple of other games they should have won. Like you said, they've been in a position to have game-winning drives and then end up losing the game. I think that that Charger game was one they end up – is that the one they end up losing?
No, they beat the Chargers.
Yeah, they beat the
Chargers. They raced out to like a 17-0 lead before.
There was a game in there where they had the ball, they had the win, they all but had the win.
I think it was the Bears.
Yeah, and then they let the Bears come back on the last drive and end up winning. So, you know, it's surprising that they are 1-4. Just like, you know, we can say it's surprising that the Titans are 2-3. They should be better. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting game. I think this game will – this is a game that, like I said, both teams need if they're going to stay pace with their division. If the Titans lose this game, already down 2 games within the division, it's going to be tough. It is really going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't want to say this feels like a pivotal moment in the season because, again, we saw the Colts go 1-5 and then rebound and make the playoffs. Now, no one thinks this offensive line or this quarterback is Andrew Luck in that Colts offensive line, but the point is still valid. The teams have weird starts to the year and then finish great, and teams have great starts to the year and finish bad. And so it happens all the time. But this one feels different because of sort of, I don't know, like how – and I don't know, Derek, if you can explain how a locker room feels like it's on the verge of a breakdown or not. You know how, like, you know, like in life, people are on the verge of breakdowns. Like, you go through stress, you have a sick relative, or you know, tough time at work, or financial issues, or whatever. You can the stress levels build, and all of a sudden, you feel like you're on the verge of a breakdown. Right? It's like a phrase that people use.
Yeah, you reach a tipping point.
And so, I wonder about a locker room when there is a point of is there ever a point in a season where. Holy smokes. is there ever a point in the season in every locker room that you've played in where you think that there was a tipping point where it went to the other side, meaning not that the coach had lost the locker room, because I know every player is still fighting for a job. So, like, I understand that everybody plays hard because you're still fighting for your career. Like, individually, I get that. But that a cohesive team thing disappears because you've reached a point of the season where it's lost. Does that make sense? Or
No. You can get to a point of a season where it's like, man, once you've really truly assessed your team, and players know if they got a good team or not, and you just look around like, man, we are not getting any better. Things are not working on the field. Coaching staff has seemed inept. And then you get, it's like, here we go again. We either go left or right, and we choose to go. I mean, not choose to, but it seems like we're going left instead of right. I think the Titans are at a critical point from this standpoint. A critical kind of, like you said, you don't want to say this is a must-win game and all this other stuff. But here's the reason why I say it's almost a must-win game. Because if they're sitting here 2-3 as they are, but those 2 wins were against Indy and Jacksonville, we feel a lot better, a whole lot better, because we are 2-0 in the division, which puts us, you know, in a weird way, we're at the top of the division. Even though we got a worse record, we're at the top of the division because we got 2 wins within the division, so we're ahead of everyone else. You don't – the old saying is, win your home games, split your away games, or win your division games, which means you're six wins, and then your non-division games, you split those. How many non-division games they play? What, four, eight? What was it?
In the AFC? Non-divisional games in the AFC. You play four from the NFC. You play six at home, so and then you play a whole other division in the AFC.
Exactly.
And then you get, what, two that rotate?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That rotate. Yeah. So say, you know, you win your division games, which is six. You win your home games. If you split your non-division games or you split your road games, you're still in a good position to make the playoffs. Well, the Titans are in a situation now where they've lost two division games already. And you can't afford to not only lose division games, but lose the games outside your division. You got to at least, if you're going to lose two division games, you got to at least win the games outside of your division. You got to make it up somehow, some way. That's why I say it's critical for the Tennessee Titans to get this game this week against Denver.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get tougher coming up because you have the Chargers, then you have the Buccaneers, then you have the Panthers and the Chiefs. And in that stretch, you're going to face two of what I would say are the top three front runners for the MVP right now in Christian McCaffrey, Patrick Mahomes, and I'd probably say Russell Wilson is also in that conversation, although you're not going to face Russell Wilson. I mean, good luck against Carolina and Kansas City because those two offenses can score. I mean, look at right now, Christian McCaffrey might be the MVP of the league.
Yeah, but I still kind of, as we're raving about Kyle Allen right now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Kyle Allen is one of those college recruiting stories that like I always beat the drum on. He's a five-star recruit coming out of high school that ended up at like three schools and never really was any good in college, and all of a sudden now he's a starting quarterback and he's halfway decent because he's always had pedigree. It shouldn't be a surprise to people that Kyle Allen is a starting quarterback in the NFL because he's been a five-star recruit his entire life, coming out of Arizona. I think he went to A&M first and then Oklahoma and then Houston or whatever. Never really played, and now he's starting. I still need to see, like, once people get tape on him, what it looks like.
Of course.
McCaffrey, you're completely right. He's obviously, I mean, we talked about this week. Christian McCaffrey might be the single most dynamic and unstoppable offensive weapon in the game of football right now. Outside of take quarterbacks out of it. Who's a skill position player? Who is the mm-hmm. most unstoppable and dynamic weapon in the NFL, and it might be Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, you would have thought on paper if I told you back in August that if Cam Newton goes down for an extended period, Carolina season is over. Now mm-hmm. they're 3-2, and if I had an MVP vote, I would vote Christian McCaffrey as the most valuable player in the league.
Well, he's been able to, you know, keep that team, that offense afloat with what he's done since Cam has been down. And, you know, maybe they are more effective because Cam was hurt anyway, and maybe they are a more effective team now that they have a healthy quarterback underneath center. Because I'm not going to sit here and say a healthy Cam and a healthy Kyle, they're better with, you know, Allen than Cam, because they're not. But Cam was hurt, so maybe they needed that. Maybe it was good that he got to not sit down for a while. So now they're able to have somebody underneath center that's healthy. But, you know, you're right. They got this stretch. But I feel good about the Titans. For some reason, I feel good about the Titans when they have to play like teams like Atlanta, high-powered offenses, Kansas City, high-powered offenses. It's just something about what Dean Pease is able to do. I'm not saying they're going to win, but he kind of neutralizes
the last
teams.
Year.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly Philly, New England. I mean, he did the job. What's weird though is that they've been good in the mucky, dirty games too, mm-hmm. right? Like they've been good against Jacksonville historically, and Jacksonville sort of plays that dirty, grinded out style, which is the same way that Buffalo and Denver probably play. But they have not been good against Buffalo, yeah. and they lost to Jacksonville in pretty convincing fashion. So this is a fascinating situation. I just wonder how fragile the locker room is, because we've talked about culture. You asked the question about culture this week, Nick. And that's what I wonder, is just how fragile is the locker room mentally? Because this has been a very strong locker room under John Robinson, Vrabel, Dean Pease. You know, they used to have Arakpo and Morgan, guys that were really good locker room guys, and those guys are gone now. How strong mentally is this is this locker room is sort of what we're going to learn a little bit about over the next couple of weeks.
Two pretty good locker rooms, or I should say dressing rooms tonight, both with the Nashville Predators and the Washington Capitals, as in comes Ovechkin, Holtby, Hagelin, Backstrom, Oshie. Good one tonight at Bridgestone Arena, the final game of a four-game homestand. We'll talk to Hal Gill about that coming up next here on Morning Drive. Predators and the Capitals tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6 here on 102.5 The Game. And the man that you will hear on that broadcast tonight is Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, and he's brought to you by Puckett's. And he joins us each and every Thursday here on Morning Drive. Skillsy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. So we know the Capitals are a good team. We know Alex Ovechkin is an all-time great. But what are some of the challenges that the Capitals will present tonight for the Preds?
Well, anytime Ovechkin's out there, he's a threat to score, but their power play is pretty good. They have a good setup between Oshie and Kuznetsov, and it's a deep team. They know how to win. You know, I think that's the bottom line. They went through the glory years, I'd say, where they were so good and so deadly, but they couldn't find a way to win, and then they won the cup, and I just think they're poised. They know how to play the game the right way, and they got some players that can score.
Hal, you and I were talking about this last night on Smashville Live and with Dan Hamuse a little bit, but I wanted to get you to sort of maybe expand on this because Dante Fabbro has obviously been pretty solid through three games. He's such a young player. He's so poised. But explain to people what you look for in a defenseman who's young. When you see a young, talented player, what is it? What skill sets are you looking for that tell you he's going to be very good moving forward? And what have you seen from Fabbro in that department?
Yeah, right away, you know, the first time I saw him, his lateral movement, the subtlety of the way his hips work, and his ability to slide into the right position without working too hard. You know, there's some guys that'll skate all over the zone before they find their spot. He's pretty quick, direct to the point. So that's what that really jumped out. Now, the problem is you put him on the NHL ice against big players, like he's playing against Evander Kane from San Jose, and he's a big body, and he's tough to play against down low. And, you know, I was pretty impressed with Fabbro. He's going to get beat out of the corners. It's a matter of time before it happens, but his recoveries have been good. His ability to spot his guy and body up in front, and he made some really nice plays where, you know, sometimes you get caught up trying to battle with a guy when you really just have to be aware of where the puck is, your spacing, your timing, and he made a couple of great plays just to make easy breakouts, and I was really impressed the San Jose game with his feet were moving, and he made a couple breakouts on his own. That's a really good sign when you get a defenseman that can have his head up, move his feet, and escape one checker, bring another checker to him, and then dish the puck off like he did. That's a good sign that he's going the right way.
Now, is there anything else that Pecorine can do that just surprises you anymore? Because the way he's played in his starts this year early on has just been remarkable. Now, I know he's given up a few goals here and there, but for the most part, I mean, he's giving them, as he's always done, he's giving them an opportunity each and every game to win because of what he is able to do inside the net.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's great. You know, he's so steady. You go in the locker room, so friendly and you know, talking to everyone. And then he brings that on the ice, that calmness. The team knows what he's all about. Not to say that if things aren't going right, he won't let you know that it needs to be straightened out. But you know, his ability to, as he's gotten older, to fine tune his game, he's putting less stress on his body the way he plays. And you know, we talk to C. Mace about it all the time, what he does and the different styles between him and Saros, but both of them really are just technically so sound right now. And I think having the balance of where they get time off and they're both playing, it gives them a chance to keep working on little things, on the details. And I think in goaltending, that's so important to make sure you're not just near the post, but right on the post. And those details matter. And I think Pekka has been so good at that and really paid attention to his health and taking care of his body. He's done a great job with that, and it shows on the ice.
Hal Gill joining us here on Morning Drive. So offensively, 13 goals through the first three games. We're seeing Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg with really good chemistry. We're seeing success on the power play in two of the first three games. Are you surprised that both of the new elements have just kind of hit the ground running and had instant success?
I guess I shouldn't say it's surprised. We're expecting it, but you're always tentative. You don't want to get too excited. It's like the Christmas gift that you think you might get, but you're not sure. You don't want to get too excited about it. I think the power play and the offense has been fantastic. And what I love about the offense more than anything, it's great to have the power play going and getting the job done. But when you have two lines that are awesome, and then somehow you forget about the third line is great and the fourth line is great. And we talked to Kyle Turris, and he had a goal the last game, and he's had a ton of chances, and he's working well with Yonkrook and Grimaldi. So sometimes you forget about all the distribution that the Preds have, and it's been pretty fantastic to start. Now they just got to clean up the defensive side and put it all together.
Hal, every team in every sport, every year has a different personality in its locker room. Have you noticed a renewed sense of focus or energy or maybe motivation, chip on their shoulder? Is there anything different at all that you've noticed about this particular personality of this particular locker room, maybe compared to previous years?
Yeah, it was funny because I was thinking about it, and it's always hard the beginning of the year. Everyone's feeling it out. I know this group knows each other, but they don't know each other without P.K. Subban in the locker room. They don't know each other without... Cody McLeod is a big guy. Anthony Boteto. There's a lot of different guys that have gone that it changes that dynamic. And Duchene's in the locker room now, and he's trying to help out, and he's finding his way. But I honestly believe that you go on the road with a team and you're stuck in a city together, and they're going to have a team bonding for sure at some point in Vegas. They're going to go out and do something together. And that's when you really kind of get to know each other. Right now, everyone's has kids at home, and you kind of take off. When you go on the road, that's when you learn what your team is all about. And so I think we'll find out more about it. But right now, I think these guys, they jive well with each other. They all work hard. Everyone talks about Duchene and his work ethic and how that has stood out as something that the team has rallied around. So, it's so far so good. We'll learn more after the road.
Skillsy, we saw in the offseason, the cupboard has been restocked. The farm system is a little deeper than it has been. And there are certainly guys that, had really good camps that made a case for making the roster for opening night that will start the year in Milwaukee. When you're a veteran player and you know that there's guys that are close to coming up, how does that change your mindset as a high-priced veteran, knowing you got to perform because there's younger, talented guys in the pipeline ready to come up and coming up at a much cheaper price?
Yeah. you're talking my story, It's you're trying to fight so hard to get into the NHL. Once you get into the NHL, it's not long before you're trying to fight to not get kicked out. And there's a lot of young talent, and, everyone's talking about Ellie Tolvanen and how he deserves a shot. No one more than Ellie Tolvanen. He wants to get a shot. He's down there working hard. You can see the development that he's gone through. Pitlick is the same way. Jared Tenorti, I thought, had a great camp. Davies and Santini. There's so much depth in Milwaukee right now. They're going to have a heck of a team, but those guys don't want to stay there. They want to get the call up, and they're just waiting for their spot. It was tough. There was a couple times when I was playing injured and someone said, "Oh, you're tough for playing injured." I said, "If I fall out of the lineup, someone's going to take my spot. So I can't take the chance of being out of the lineup. You got to play through those."
Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. He's brought to you by Puck. It's great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, Hal.
Thanks, Hal. Enjoy Vegas,
Thanks
buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Hal Gill. Enjoy, all right, boys.
Enjoy Vegas, everybody.
Yeah, you guys don't have the luxury listening in Radio Land to see our faces during the show.
Absolutely.
But apparently I committed a violation, and you guys both lit up like a Christmas tree.
I don't know if you committed a violation.
Well, I was reading.
No, it was a violation.
Hang on. I'm going to bring Marquise. I would like to raise this as a question to our judge, juries, and executioners here.
I was looking at his Twitter handle, and that's why I said it. Go ahead.
So Nick referred to Hal Gill as Skillsy, which is his nickname, his hockey nickname, always has been. Hal is one of the just absolute gems of a personality in this city, and love having him on the team. Is it appropriate, because he's not a player?
No, he can do it.
But is it okay to refer to a former player as their nickname?
Nope.
So you say no?
Nope.
But if that's what everybody at the station calls him, though, I was introduced to him as Skillsy. I was like, okay,
right,
Hal Gill. Okay, so yeah.
So does Pete Weber ever refer to him as Skillsy during a broadcast? Because last night during Smashville Live, I never referred to him as Skillsy. I called him Hal Gill.
Yeah, when you're interviewing him, it's Hal.
I mean, but he's more of a friend than a player, though. He's more of a friend of the show.
He's always a player.
We're gonna rip Chase for it.
We gotta rip Nick for it.
Do you think that was inappropriate, Nick, or do you think it's okay? I'm honestly asking.
If you got to think that long, yeah, it was
inappropriate. Yeah, it was definitely. Yeah,
but now, if you listen to the full interview, I did introduce him as Hal Gill, brought to you by Puckett.
Yeah. Yes. He's and when Hal Gill, and then said, Skillsy, what's up?
I need your boys to reset midway through. So when I reset, I called him Skillsy.
Well, no, you reset with Hal. You just said, hey, so Skillsy, very matter of fact.
Talk about power play.
Skillsy, talk about team building in Vegas.
So yesterday the bathing suit was an issue. Skillsy's an issue.
Here's the thing. I think this is gray area. I don't think this is cut and dry.
What if I interviewed Hal Gill in a bathing suit?
Well, because that's not fair then, because we called Derek D-Mace all throughout the show.
So I don't. This is why I think.
But y'all work with me.
Well, we work with Hal.
I worked with Hal last night. Thanks for listening.
But you call him Hal.
I, on the air, as a co-host, I called him Hal Gill, but it's a little bit more of a formal show. We've got the players there. It's all about the players. It's not about Hal or myself. It's about the fans coming out to see the players. I don't think this is cut and dry. I don't think there's an egregious violation.
Poll question at 1025_MD. Put it up, Hollywood. Is Nick in violation for referring to Hal Gill as Skillsy mid-interview? Yes or no? Let's get some answers.
Derek, we consider you a friend and a colleague, so D-Mace, D... Whatever, it works. You call Darren McFarland D-Mac all the time.
Yep.
Coach Willie. We call him Coach Willie. We call Chase a million names, right? Macababe. The Chas Macabre.
But Chase is never a player.
Constable.
D-Mac was never a player. Willie was a player, he's Willie. So we can refer to those guys as, D-Mac.
I'm sort of in the if he's not a current player or coach, kind of all bets are off. You can do whatever you want. If you're friends enough with him that you call him Skillsy, I don't think that that's a problem. I'm actually going the other direction on this one.
Yeah. Because y'all would rip Chase for it, so.
I don't.
Yeah, we would. No, we would rip Chase.
I would rip Chase if he was doing an interview in the locker room with a player. I would rip him on that.
All right, poll question will be up shortly at 1025_MD. We're back after this with a big finish.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
That is correct. Time for the big finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And Braden Gall, the big finish is BTYB.
Nashville Soccer Club, brought to you by Nashville SC. NashvilleSC.com is the website. If you want inaugural season tickets for the MLS season coming up next year, you need to go to the website, NashvilleSC.com, and buy some tickets. They're in second place right now in the table and entering the postseason with a chance to win the USL Championship. Hello, NashvilleSC.com.
All right, let's get to the rewind. And we welcome you into another edition of Morning Drive live here on a Thursday. Boys, do we take a moment of silence this morning for our beloved Braves fans / colleagues, Chase McCabe and Gerald Stillman this morning?
Marquis trolling Chase and Gerald, if that in fact is the case.
I mean, I'm a Dodgers fan. That was the worst part of the whole night,
too.
We got to pour one out for Marquis as well.
how do you treat your friends when it comes to their sports teams and losing? I think I've tweeted Chase McCabe go card 16 times in the last 5 days. Is that how we should treat each other? Is it a positive? Like, for some reason, why do we do that? People we like, our friends, we want them to feel pain with their sports.
I really only do it on college teams and not necessarily, you know, pro teams. Because, again, there's no attachment to a pro team. There's no sense of loyalty to a pro team. Your sense of loyalty to me is your college team. So I like to troll if somebody's college team lose, not their pro team.
The Braves and Dodgers, for whatever it is in October, find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, the Dodgers get to the series, though. The Dodgers normally get past this first round. They don't lose very often in the first round, and they probably should have won yesterday. Now, the Braves, this goes back to the 90s, winning divisions, being one of the best teams in the National League, and then failing to get where they need to get. For 20 years, they've been doing that, other than the one year. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think you tweeted something about it, something about October DNA. I mean, the Cardinals clearly have it.
Yeah. Yeah, one team, the Cardinals, has an October DNA. The other team has Jared Stillman yelling at him on Twitter.
Which one do you want?
I'll take October DNA for 300. I just am curious how, because Marquise seems pretty down too today about the Dodgers loss and how it happened.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no. I'm putting my heart in this dog.
Before practice occurred, Marquise knew that they would be in a certain area of the field, so he bugged the field. He mic'd them up unknowingly to Titans players, and apparently towards the end of practice, Marcus, you know, a little bit out of character, got the boys together and said, you know, this is a big game against Denver. We need to really show up at Mile High, and here's the tape.
Don't anybody question his fire, okay?
Yeah, they needed that. The team needed it.
He's the Determinator.
Hey, Marcus knows that if they go down 2-4, it's gonna be hell to try to get out of that hole.
Tough sledding.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So
I'm really excited and satisfied with the renewed sense of energy and purpose from this Titans organization.
Yeah. Did they reignite the fire there for you?
The fire was reignited. They went from good to puberty. What happened? Be determinated.
I don't know.
Be determinated.
I see big guys. I see little guys.
We can beat them on their field. We can beat them on our field. We can beat them in New England.
Von Miller, I will determinate you. Fred's associate coach Kevin McCarthy.
I think Matt's one of his biggest assets. This is his skating ability and his creativity, and that's definitely been shown here over the course of the last three games and in the exhibition games. And he's as advertised. He's exactly what we knew he was going to be. And I think that line, especially with Phil and Granny, there is really a literal potent offensive attack for us.
Now, we know when you're a coach, when you're a player, when you're a part of that franchise inside that room, you can throw around the nicknames. Mm-hmm. We bust Chase's stones over the nicknames, but I was tracking there.
Uh-huh.
We had an Ecky, we had a Turry, which we were wondering if we could put a Y on Turris.
Dan Hammy said that last night about
it. We had a Turry.
Called him Turry.
So. And we had a Fabs.
Fabs is such a good name.
Joe Rexrode from The Athletic.
It's not just that he got into a Twitter beef, but he actually, like, picked a fight one day. And I'm like, geez, like, right here, this is what you don't do. But he can't help himself. It's not that surprising. So, you know, then he says that he shouldn't have done it. But, I mean, it's kind of who he was. And I'm not saying, like, because he does that, this team goes 9-7 every year. But it is one of those things, like, you know, if you want to break out of the rut of what's happening in the field, maybe break out of the rut of some of the stuff you do off the field.
We welcome in Benjamin Albright from KOA iHeart in Denver.
You know, in terms of record, I don't know that it's a particular stunner. I think you look at kind of the way they've played and the way they've lost or won, and that's kind of been surprising. You know, you talk about a football team that's put the two potential game-winning drives inside the two-minute mark at home and lost both games. So that's kind of been a bit surprising. The way the defense struggled to get turnovers and sacks through the first three games, a bit surprising. But, you know, the offense has been surprising in a good way. Keeps continuing to get better each week, and you know, I think Denver fans are kind of hopeful, or you know, at least optimistic about the possibility of almost a Colts-like turnaround from last year out of this team.
Derek, your kid's a little older, but mm-hmm. your kids are younger.
Yeah, you're the only one back there that's not a parent.
Yeah, oh, thank God.
At least that you know of. What are the odds of a little Hollywood's running around that you don't know about right now?
is about a good 70%.
Oh, my God.
I'm joking. No. It's, no, there's
I thought you were waiting for marriage.
Yeah, of course I am. Yeah. I'm a Christian man.
He's a Tim Tebow.
Are you guys going to allow your kids to get allowance?
Oh, no. When my daughters were about 3 and a half, they would just flat out say, need dollars.
Need dollars.
Daddy, mommy, need dollars.
Give me them dollars. Give me them dollars.
What did they need dollars for?
I don't know, but they needed dollars. But they knew.
Are they running a racket on the playground?
They are. They're running a Ponzi scheme I don't know about.
Dad, my guy will not front me the Sour Patch Kids, okay? I've got to pay for the Sour Patch Kids up front. And then I've got to distribute the yellow ones.
I need dollars.
I need them dollars.
Let's go. That was indeed
That's good.
The Morning Drive Daily Rewind. We got about minute and a half to go here tonight. How about this? So you get four different things.
Oh, so much.
College football, Cuse and NC State. The NFL, you got the Patriots and Giants. Baseball, you've got the Astros and Rays. And, of course, the Preds.
Garrett Cole on the mound, right, for the Astros?
Yep. And, Patriots, a 17-point favorite.
Haven't they been like a 14-point favorite in like three straight games? At least.
I don't think. Were they against
20,
the Bills?
They were a 20. Oh, that's right. The Bills in the middle there.
Yeah.
But against the Dolphins, Bills. Redskins, and Giants, they were huge favorites. Preds tonight, you know, keep it rolling. If you can go 3-1 in a four-game homestand, that's pretty good stuff there. See what the offense looks like. Keep the power play going. Baseball, I mean, this is a multi-screen night if I've ever seen one, so. Got a lot of good stuff tonight.
Minimum of three, if not four screens.
Well, I don't think you're going to need to watch the Patriots too much. I mean, the Giants have no players left. They're all injured, right? Like it's.
I think I'd go Giants-Patriots over Cuse and NC State.
I disagree with that.
You got to watch greatness.
Danny Dimes is going to be down by three touchdowns right away, though. They got no players, like Sterling Shepard.
24-0.
They're all out.
Yeah, you're right.
24-0 Patriots.
Yeah. I think Cuse NC State will be interesting. Tommy DeVito, the other Tommy.
Astros win today?
Garrett Cole all the way, baby.
Okay.
I feel you.
Rays got to get to their pen.
Predators pick up the sixth point of eight.
Ooh, man.
Listen to all this analysis.
That's tough. I think they do at home. They do.
So they're going to beat a guy named Braden?
Not possible.
Okay.
But it's not
that
in the playoffs.
Is it for us? Darren Donica Chase coming up next. And as one man once famously said, when he signs off of his social media posts, I'm just saying, take care.
Bailey DJ Nashville, I love you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.